Welcome to The Sync Report, the intersection between independent filmmakers and songwriters, where we host a weekly conversation with award-winning filmmakers, marquee musicians, and leading music industry professionals. Meet industry experts and top-level songwriters as we pull the curtain back on music placement and scores, building vital relationships and providing real opportunities to our listeners. Listen to indie filmmakers present their latest productions and describe specific scenes as they consider music submitted by you, our audience. Hosted by music supervisor and former Sony Epic executive Jason P. Rothberg, along with your co-host and the godmother of indie films, Rose Ganguza. Music is the difference between a good film and a great one. Don't forget, tell your friends about us and remember to rate, comment and subscribe to The Sync Podcast on Apple and across all platforms. Okay, man, put the gun down now. I've said it.
Little does he know, that's not a gun. Okay, thank you, Milfredo. Back behind the DJ booth with you. Welcome to The Sync Report. And we have an incredible show for you tonight. Let's welcome our marketing director extraordinaire to the stage, Paula.
Hi.
How are you today?
Hi. I'm good, thanks. Bit tired, actually. We've had a very long day at galleries
today. Wow, so it's the gallery, not the museum.
It was a gallery today. We went to see David Hockney at the Royal Academy of
Arts.
Oh,
amazing.
Today.
How was that?
It was amazing, actually. It was amazing. Kids weren't so impressed because, you know, painting.
I don't know how much they can absorb of all this art that you're pumping into their brain.
They love most of it. I mean, we went to a few other exhibitions today as well, but it's hard when it's paintings. It's a bit dull when it's paintings for them, I think.
Well, I guess it's
they love the sculptures.
I guess it's a good thing we got you a new intern to help out because you're so off.
I know.
Off on your journeys.
Exactly. Now I can delegate more to David and I'll have more time for galleries. It's awesome.
All right. You ready?
Oh, go on. Nice.
David, welcome to the madness. Say hello. Tell us what's going on.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. I'm David.
Don't you love that voice?
Thank you very much. I'm really excited to be a part of the team and I'm looking forward to whatever Paula has for me to begin working on. I'm really excited to be a part of the team in a nutshell.
Right. So tell us, David, this is your first time on the show. You're tapping
yes.
from Sweden. You're a DJ, music producer, manager. Tell us what's going on.
Yes, I'm tapping in from Sweden, as Jason said. I'm a music manager. I run talent management for a couple of artists down here in Sweden. I have a couple of artists on my roster. And also, as Jason mentioned, I'm a DJ. I play mostly like club gigs and all of that, out chain Sweden. Also, I'm an executive producer. I'm young. I'm trying to wear as much hats as I can. So I'm getting involved with as many music activities as I can because I'm really invested in music.
So cool.
About me in a nutshell.
So glad we found you, David. We're going to work you to death. Paula. So, I mean, obviously you're getting interns. We must have some exciting shows coming up. What's happening on the horizon?
We've got a lot coming up in the next few weeks, actually. Shall I tell you what
yeah.
we've got?
Yeah, I must prepare.
Okay. Prepare yourself. This Sunday, on the 5th of September, we've got Des Shaw, who's a documentary film producer, and he's partners with Sir Bob Geldof in the award-winning TV production company Zinc Media. So they make mostly factual TV shows. Then the following Sunday, on the 12th of September, we have iconic TV director Steve Binder talking about the many music icons he's worked with, including Elvis. There's so many, I can't even list them. It would take too long. As well as Joe Escalante coming on to share stories about the Vandals, Blink-182 and his TV series Ancient Aliens. Then on Thursday the 16th of September, we have the powerhouse Welsh singer-songwriter, actress, TV presenter and political activist Charlotte Church coming on to talk.
Sorry.
Coming on. She's coming on to talk about her incredible career, which you know, one little factoid on her. By the time she was 21, she'd sold over 10 million records worldwide, which, you know, quite frankly, that is a massive achievement. And then beyond those dates, we have Tommy Farragher coming on, Rod Smith, Danny Saber, Matt Sorum, and other guests that we don't have dates for yet.
Oh, my God. People are just lining up to be on this madness. How very cool.
Everybody wants to talk about music and film.
And you know, by the way, Steve Bender, that's my mentor. That was the first person I ever had the chance to work for. And amazing. He is one of the most incredible people that walks the planet. I can't wait for his interview. So with no further to do, Paula, can you please introduce our featured guest tonight?
Okay, well, we have another fantastic sync report for you all this evening. We have comic icon Jackie the Joke Man Martling joining us.
Yay!
To talk about...
I'll stop, I promise.
To talk about his autobiography, Bow to Stern, which was released in 2017, his upcoming biographical documentary, and to play some of his incredible original music, which I've only heard for the first time this week, but it's brilliant.
It's brilliant, honestly. I mean, some of it's going to have you in stitches, but most of it, you're just going to drop your jaw. I mean, it's incredible music.
Well, I mean, you know who Jackie Martling is. I have to say, as a Brit, you know, I've never watched the Howard Stern show. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
So I'm going to tell you, though, for our audience members, Jackie the Joke Man Martling is a comedian, radio personality, actor, author, and a singer-songwriter. For 18 years, from 1983 to 2001, he was head writer and a cast member on the Howard Stern show on radio and TV. And guys, audience members, if you enjoy our chat with Jackie today, which I'm sure you will, you can listen to his music by asking Alexa to play Jackie Martling. You can also listen on Pandora or Spotify. And for a daily joke, you can follow him on Twitter, which he posts at the same time every day, which obviously that would be a different time depending on which time zone you are in.
All right, before we welcome Jackie to the stage, I just want to remind everybody you're listening to the Sync Report. All right, Milfredo, let's give Jackie the Joke Man Martling a proper introduction. Spin that first track, please.
Millneck, Locust Valley, Glen Cove, Glen Street, Seacliff, Glenhead, Greenville, Roslyn, Albertson, East Wilson, and Mineola!
Twice. 2 feet.
Waiting for the train to bring me home again. I'm waiting for the train to bring me home again. Waiting for the train to bring me home again. Mama, won't you come along? Mama, won't you come along? Everything lately seems like a celebration. Why do I sit lonely in a railway station? Well, just when I'm feeling about as low as I can go, I hear that friendly whistle start to blow. Dance me around, Mama, won't you dance me around? I'm waiting for the train, waiting for the train, waiting for the train to bring me as I am. I'm waiting for the train to bring me home again. Waiting for the train to bring me home again. Mama, won't you come along? Mama, won't you come along? Sitting on a bench, spending lots of time, holding down the fort at the end of the Oyster Bay line. Well, the train pulls up, I can hear it outside. I cast off all my cares and ride. Dance me around, Mama, won't you dance me around? That's it. I'm waiting for the train, waiting for the train, waiting for the train to bring me as I am. I'm waiting for the train to bring me home again. Waiting for the train to bring me home again. Mama, won't you come along? Mama, won't you come along? Mosey on over at Ida's and grab a shot. She'll be having one with you as likely as a dime. Charlie's burning burgers and telling stale jokes. Eddie's upstairs to catch himself a few tokes. Dance me around, mama, would you dance me? Drink another round, come on, mama, mama, drink one. Dance me around, mama, would you dance me around? Here we go, 2, 3, 4, waiting for the train, waiting for the train, waiting for the train. Train to bring me home again. Mama, won't you come along? Mama, won't you come along?
Welcome to the Sync Report. Thank you for making time for us.
I am beyond thrilled to be here. First of all, I couldn't be more intimidated by anything more than the incredible introduction you gave me. And with all the accents, I feel like I just went around the world like twice.
It's about inclusion.
While you guys were talking to each other. And it's fun. I'll tell you, I wanted to start with that song because that was the second song I ever wrote. In 1971, so it's been exactly 40 years. It could have been 40 years today, for all I know.
That amazing photo I see of you, young Jackie, looking fit and gorgeous with the guitar in your hand?
A couple of years before that. That was before I sprung myself from Michigan State University. I wanted to start writing songs, and the guys in my band told me, you know, you don't write your own songs. I said, well, I'm out of here. And that song's actually about, a little bar and grill that was right at the end of the line in Oyster Bay, the home of Theodore Roosevelt. It's a whole incredible documentation of my life and my town.
I love that.
And I just have always gotten, everybody's always gotten a kick out of it. Those are the actual names of the stations between Oyster Bay and Jamaica, Queens. And, and I wrote songs to the best of my ability for the next 9 years. And then I realized if I ever want to eat, I better do something else. So I quit music. And to steal a joke from Rodney Dangerfield and from Jackie Mason and everybody else, I quit music. But to give you an idea of how well I was doing, I was the only one who knew I quit.
Oh, Jackie, I love it.
But then years later, I became very close friends with Les Paul. And became very good friends with his guitar player because we were pot smoking friends. And I wrote this crazy song and I asked him if he liked it. He liked it. We had so much fun recording it. He said, you got any other songs? And I said, well, yeah, I got, how many you want? And I went back to the 70s and dug out my old songs and finally made a CD of my music in 2007. And people respond really well to the songs. They're very weird.
I've been listening all week. I mean, the music is actually brilliant. I'm just trying to figure out how I can incorporate it into some of the films I'm working on.
Well, I would love to. I'll tell you, I made instrumentals out of a lot of the tunes. And I have some old instrumentals that I did, guitar on top of guitar on top of guitar back in the 70s. And this documentary they did on me, almost all the music in my documentary is my music, which just thrills me to know. And
I want to talk about the documentary and the book. And I'm going to split your interview into two. So why don't we talk about the documentary, talk about the book, then we're going to take a short break and then come back and do a listening session. Tell me, what's the story behind that? Is that released?
No. Well, what happened was after I left the Stern Show, I wound up on one of Howard's channels doing a really wild 1-hour joke show called Jackie's Joke Hunt for 8 years. And we did 400 shows and it was amazing. And my partner on that show, this guy I met at the Friars Club, I asked him to be my co-host. And then after that stopped, he said, we really should make a documentary out of your life because I've had like 5 different lifetimes. There's no real reason for me to still be alive, to tell you the truth. And it's kind of interesting. So we started making the documentary and it took a long time. But of course, the second it was done was the day that the world closed because of the pandemic. It's finally right now at the point where you can start submitting it to film festivals, but we can't show it anywhere because if you show it anywhere, then, right. then it disqualifies it for film festivals. So we kind of, that's why nobody's seen it yet. But anybody who's seen it, everybody, you know, of course, they're my friends, so they're going to say they like it. But people seem to really take to it. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And my goal with the documentary is, it's very funny. I don't know how tuned into the Howard Stern show you've been. I haven't been on that show in 20 years. And people come up and talk to me like I was on it yesterday. I mean, it is a timeless thing.
Yeah.
Because the 90s was the golden age of the show. I know when I take this documentary around, I'm going to have a Q&A afterwards. People have so many questions and it goes so deep that I just think filming the Q&A is going to give us a whole serial of documentaries for Netflix or for whatever.
Brilliant.
And I'm really looking forward to it, you know, because it's really not, so much of this stuff is really, really not believable. It wasn't believable at the time. And as you know, with the passage of 20 years, every time I start telling stories, you know, I always look and I see people looking at each other, rolling their eyes like, yeah, here he goes with his lies again.
So that's exciting about the documentary, actually.
True music.
I know there's people in the audience and definitely that listen to the Sync Report who are distributors and you know, I'm sure would be interested. We can pass on your details if we get some.
Well, you can pass everything. I just can't give anybody a link to the documentary yet.
God, I feel very special now.
You know, I let my guy Ian handle it. I try to innately see who I can trust.
Yeah.
You know, there's some people you can say don't share this, and some people you wouldn't dare say that because you know better. But anybody wants to email me, I give my email out on every interview, every podcast, jokeland@AOL.com. And when people get done laughing at me for still being on AOL,
hey, it's better than Hotmail.
They send me an email, you know. Jesus. Is that, I don't even. You know what? I know so little about this stuff. When I started, I worked in a recording studio in the 70s because they liked me. I played in the two-man band, and this is a true story. The owner thought I was going to kill myself because this girl blew me off. I think he actually thought that. So he thought, you know what? Let me put these guys in the studio and let them record a song. You know, maybe Jackie will calm down. And we did a song called The Pot Song, which was about a party where we had, you know, it was my birthday and they had 27 joints of pot with the birthday candles. And it was a party that you just absolutely couldn't believe. It was one of those Long Island parties. I mean, it probably couldn't hold a candle to a Los Angeles party, but for us, it was pretty wild. And I said, I'll go and record that, but only if you let me put a love song on the other side. And that's when I wrote that great song, yes, To Whom It May Concern, that I sent you. And that was our two-sided single. And by the time we got done recording it, the guy said, hey, you know what? You're so much fun. Why don't you come work here? And here it is 40 years later. And one of those two guys that hired me is married to my sister.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
I swear, I stick to people's shoes like an old piece of gum. I swear to God. So I learned in the process of what I was doing how to make a record. People don't realize it's just like back in the old days, it was like baking a cake. You know, you needed a tape and a few dollars and a few pictures and you sent it to the plant and you got back albums. But nobody knew that. And I was going nowhere as a singer-songwriter, so I started telling jokes and I realized I could just take these jokes and make an album. I actually recorded my first comedy album on cassette. And put it on reel-to-reel and cut it up with the razor blade and borrowed money from people and put out an album. And, you know, nobody knows you did it yourself, you know. And I'd stand at the door at the end of a comedy show. There was no comedy clubs, just, you know, in bars and restaurants. And I'd stand there and sell my albums. Mm. And the other comics would make fun of me. They'd goof on me. I'd sign my record and charge $5 for an album. And then one day somebody said, you know what? We made $25 a piece. And Jackie made an extra $50 selling his stupid albums. Maybe he's not as crazy as we think. And of course, nowadays you can't go to a show without somebody selling all that crap at the end of the show.
To, you know, someone actually buying that cassette and playing it for their friends.
Yeah, and you have no idea the amount of stories that have come back. That's a whole nother book. the stories that have come back about that album.
Now I wish I had. And,
well, they're actually LPs. Proper they weren't vinyl. Tapes. They were these like, my God. Wax, big, huge,
so
stupid
cool.
vinyl records. You know, I sent my three records to Howard Stern blind in 1982. And he called me up on the strength of those stupid records.
Wow, that's interesting.
You know.
So that's how that introduction happened.
Yep. I sent them to everybody. By that time, my future ex-wife was working with me. And we would send, I wasn't making a joke. That's a true story. And we would send all three albums to everybody. If I met somebody, I would send them my albums, not even knowing what was going to happen. It was like throwing crap against the wall. And then this guy called up when he left Washington, D.C., and he got to New York. I just sent my albums blind to WNBC, and he called me up, and I went in, and just like the guys in the recording studio, at the end of the day, Howard and Robin and Fred said, boy, you're a lot of fun. Why don't you come back next week?
Incredible.
And like they say, the rest is history.
Oh, my God, this must have been...
A guy who's still my best friend, we went to kindergarten together in 1953, and years later, somewhere around seventh grade, I was about 2 feet tall, and I was a wise guy, and I told jokes. But of course, you know, I discovered girls in the summer of sixth grade, but with no idea what to do. And everybody's always looking for a leg up, you know, and they say that 99% of the guys that start playing guitar do it to meet girls, and the other 1% are lying, okay? So I saw my old friend, you know, we went to school together, and I said, hey, you play guitar? And he says, yeah, well, I was in Sunday school, and this girl told me that she thought Ricky Nelson was really cute because he sang and played the guitar. So I signed up and went for guitar lessons, and when I went back to Sunday school, the girl wasn't there. She moved away. He never saw the girl again. And he said, yeah, I play guitar. He said, I'll tell you what, I can teach you four chords, and we can have a band. And he was talking about, you know, 1-4-5, 1-6-4-5, C-A-F-G. He said, that's every song there is. And I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, okay. So he started teaching me guitar. And we had a band for a couple of years before the Beatles hit. So funny, because we played what we called oldies, because it's like 1962. And we're playing Dion and the Belmonts as oldies because they had been from back in 1959 and 1958, you know, Lil Anthony and Imperials and the Jarmels, you know, those were oldies. And meanwhile, now, if you look back in perspective now, you know, they were almost brand new. And then if they started, you know, the guys where I worked started teasing me, they were all Irish and English, and started teasing me about this incredible band that's going to come to the United States from England. And I'm like, yeah, rah, 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 England. And then, of course, the Beatles hit and it was insanity. And we used to actually get in trouble with our audience in high school because we played too many Beatles songs. You know, but if you're a guitar player, those songs are so great because there was so many great chord changes and so many new chords. And it was just, fantastic
you could hear those
stuff,
influences,
you know?
Because you could hear definitely Stonesy Beatles influences in the music.
I heard one of the fraternity guys say to our drummer, you guys are so great. Man, you guys are so great. And I swear to you, this is a true thing. The drummer said, yeah, one day we hope to tour Ohio.
Aspirations high.
And I'm telling you, the light bulb went off. I'm like, no, you say one day we're going to play on the moon. Then if you only get to Ohio, fine. But if your goal is Ohio, I said, get me the hell out of here. And I got out of there and went to Denver and came home to New York and, you know, and went to the moon. But my God, you know, we hope to play Ohio. I never even said anything to the guy. I was so flabbergasted,
So this is what I was just saying,
Jack. But it wound up being a great story.
I want to dive into the music now. We'll come back and talk about the book because I want to know what's going on with Bow to Stern. But let's go ahead and take a 2-minute smoke break. We're going to spin that track and be right back.
Smoking pot, I got my dick out, and I'm thinking about you, and I'm thinking about you. I'm smoking pot, I got my dick out, and I'm thinking about you. just you.
I'm smoking pot. I got my dick out. And I'm thinking about you. Thinking about you.
I'm driving along.
Driving along.
I'm singing a song.
Singing a song.
And I got my dick out.
Got my dick
and
out.
And I'm thinking about you.
Thinking about you.
I drank a six pack.
Drank a six pack.
I took my pants
took
off.
Took my pants
oh,
off.
Oh, I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I'm smoking pot. I got my dick out. And I'm thinking about you. Thinking about you.
I guzzled tequila.
Guzzled tequila.
I peed on a lamppost.
Peed on a lamppost.
Then I yearned for you.
Yearned for you.
Oh, I ached for you.
Ached for you.
I ate some lube.
Ate some lube.
I kissed my dog.
Kissed my dog.
Then I cried for you.
Cried for you.
I wept for you.
Wept for you.
I toked some skunk.
Toked some skunk.
I groped your sister.
Groped your sister.
But you're the one.
You're the one.
You're still the one.
Still the one.
I ate some hash.
Ate some hash.
I lit a fart.
Lit a fart.
And then I sketched you.
Then I sketched you.
Yes, I drew you.
Yes, I drew you.
I got my dick out. And I'm thinking about you.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking about you.
Well, I tripped on acid.
Tripped on acid.
I picked a scab.
Picked a scab.
And then I faxed you.
And I faxed you.
I sent you a fax.
Sent you a fax.
I made pot brownies.
Made pot brownies.
Yes, diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
Your name came up.
Name came up.
Your name came up.
Name came up.
I swig some ripples.
Swig some ripples.
I watched some porn.
Watched some porn.
Then I wrote to you.
Wrote to you.
Show 'em what we wrote, Frank.
I'm smoking pot. I got my dick out, and I'm thinking about you, thinking about you. I'm smoking pot, I got my dick out, and I'm thinking about you.
Show them what we wrote on page two, Frankie.
I'm smoking pot.
Yes, yes.
I got my dick out, and I'm thinking about you, thinking about you. I'm smoking pot.
I did some mushrooms.
Did some mushrooms.
I waxed my legs.
Waxed my legs.
Oh, I miss you.
I miss you.
I long for you.
Long for you.
I swallowed some Vicodin.
Swallowed some Vicodin.
Inserted a suppository.
Inserted a suppository.
I'm smoking pot. I got my dick out. And I'm thinking about you. Thinking about you.
I paid a bill.
Paid a bill.
I thought about my parents.
Thought about my parents.
How'd that verse get in there? I don't know. Well, I smoked a joint.
Smoked a joint.
I tickled my balls.
Tickled my balls.
And I pictured you.
Pictured you.
Sweet, beautiful you.
Sweet, beautiful you.
Oh, I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Oh, I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Oh, I love you.
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 Yes, I do.
I'm smoking pot. I got my dick out. And I'm thinking about you. Thinking about you. I'm smoking pot. I got my dick out. And I'm thinking about you. Thinking about you. I'm smoking pot. I got my dick out. And I'm thinking about you. Thinking about you. I'm smoking pot. I got my dick out. And I'm thinking about you. Thinking about you.
I'm smoking pot.
Smoking pot.
I got my dick out.
Got my dick out.
And I'm thinking about you.
Thinking about you.
And I'm thinking about you.
Thinking about you.
I'm smoking pot.
Smoking pot.
I got my dick out.
Got my dick out.
And I'm thinking about you.
Thinking about you.
Thinking about you.
Thinking about you.
I'm joining us.
Love song, Jackie. The ultimate love song. That was brilliant. Before we get into anything else, tell us about this week's Smoke Break song.
So many people, I actually get texts and emails and phone calls from people yelling at me because they say once
oh,
they listen
so
to that
it's
song,
ridiculous.
They cannot get it out of their heads. You know, and the people that love it, James Taylor's sister, Kate Taylor, loves that song. Les Paul, That the guitar player on that song is Frank Vignola, V-I-G-N-O-L-A. He's a world-class guitar player. And to give you an idea what kind of guitar player he was the guitar
Amazing.
Player in Les Paul's trio.
Right.
You know, it's like being Dolly Parton's boob stand-in, you know. And he's just a great guy. The truth of that story is I have a very good friend who was a kind of a not really romantic involvement, but we had a thing, and she lived in Las Vegas. And I was driving along the Long Island Expressway, and I had the phone on speakerphone because I had a bowl of pot, and I was just going past Leaf Rack City, and I was about to light the bowl of pot, and I said, let me try and call her because, it's 11 at night, but it's 8 o'clock her time. It wasn't too late, and I had another 45 minutes before I got to my apartment, so I called. And I got her answering machine. I said, oh, Jay, I was hoping we'd get to talk. Oh, man, I got 45 minutes. Gosh, what the hell? At any rate, I'm smoking pot. I got my dick out. And I'm thinking about you. And I hung up.
I got a song in there.
And I said, wait a minute. I'm smoking pot. I got my dick out. And next thing I know, I'm singing it. And I'm smoking pot. I'm driving along. I'm singing a song. And I am laughing. And the people in the other cars are looking over like, what's that moron laughing at? And I'm lighting the bowl. And when I got back to my apartment, while I was riding along, I had my micro cassette recorder. So I actually recorded the micro cassette. I recorded as much as I had written. And when I got home, I transferred it to MP3 and I sent it to Frank. And I said, Frank, I think this is either the world's worst song or the world's best song. And he called me up. He said, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. We got to record it. And then we recorded it. And people have been going nuts ever since for that. And for 8 years, that was the theme song of our Jackie's Joke Hunt joke show on Sirius XM. And people just love it. It's just so absurd. It's so filthy, but it's a love song.
You gotta see the humor in that. I've been bursting all week to play that.
And it's a template. It's ingesting some kind of, intoxicant, and then some kind of, crazy kind of romantic love motion, and then the expression of affection. It's like one of column A, one of column B, one of column C. And they get pretty absurd. I sent you a fax. It's not exactly I love
and
you.
And sonically, that enough. Word really worked well in the song. I have to tell you, I love just hearing you sing fax. It's just brilliant. Kevin, I saw you and Mike. Did you have a question for Jackie?
A statement. That's my new favorite song. I'm listening to it every day. I don't know how to get it. And also it needs a music
video.
Hold on.
Stop the music. Alexa. Play "And I'm Thinking About You" by Jackie Martling. That's all you gotta do. Or else email me jokeland@AOL.com and I will send you your own personal. Anybody who wants a copy, just email me because it's been passed around the world and the people that love that song, I love the emails I get and the texts I get. And they same thing, God, I can't get that stupid song out of my head.
Oh
man.
My God.
It needs a music video. I don't know if I'm the first one to say it, but it needs a music video.
It absolutely needs a music. And we've been talking, we've been talking for years about making a music video out of that Waiting for the Train, because that's a Long Island anthem. I mean, the entire Long Island goes back and forth to Manhattan on the Long Island Railroad, But I'm ready. Come on over. Come on over to Jokeland. Let's make a video. I'll come there. Okay. I got to go.
I'm going to be thinking about that.
Kevin is a brilliant.
It might even be really good animated.
I'm ready for anything. What I've been trying? Maybe somebody in your audience. I've been trying. I heard years ago that Pete Best was a Stern fan and that he was especially big fan of me and my jokes. And I can't seem to get a hold of him. And I don't know if you guys know, but the Stern Show, the other members of the cast used to break my horns because I referred to us as the Beatles of radio.
Why would that be a bad thing?
But we were the goddamn Beatles of radio. And people say it like it's something that's been coined forever. And then I left the show. So I'm the Pete Best of the Howard Stern Show. And I think me and him could go around the world making people laugh and having
we're
going
to figure out how to make
that
happen.
We're both dead.
Okay, so Jackie, we're going to now you're going to take us on a ride.
I'm
going to play samples. I try to narrow it down to my favorite 16. And then I passed those to our music supervisor, who said we really couldn't do more than six. So we're going to try and push our luck and see how far we can go. But yeah, Milfredo, going to play, you know, 40-second clips. And if you could give us the backstory.
I will do my best to be concise.
Wait for the Amtrak in the city of brotherly love. Well, my shows were good as they're ever gonna get, but I just can't get enough. You know, the more they laugh and clap, it seems, the less that I can hear. Another day, another joke. What happened to last year? Me oh, me oh, me oh, me oh, me oh my. Me oh.
Fun, upbeat. Tell us about this track, Jackie.
In 1971, pretty soon after I wrote that Waiting for the Train song, me and my friend Warren Mertens, I was home in New York visiting, and we took a ride out to Michigan to go back to my college town. And I said, you drive and I'll sing and play. So I started writing this song, and it became a very popular song. It's called Butch's Song because his nickname was Butch. And this has nothing to do with anything, but his father was a championship jockey who actually won the Triple Crown in 1946 on a horse named Assault. That's just trivia. Then I started in comedy, and in 1980, when I got close with Rodney, I rewrote a bunch of verses of that song. So that's the new version of the song that's only 40 years old. And it's called Butcher Song, and it's just, it's a, you know, it's an anthem. It's a show business anthem about the stage, and, you know, once it gets its hooks in you, and, you know, you can do great, and it doesn't matter. It's not enough, because we're all a bottomless drain, and the laughs and the love just filters right through us and goes right out. We need another fix. And it's just a great, great sing-along.
Such a sing-along.
You know, it's just fun.
I'm going to ask you some technical questions, because a lot of the people who listen to this program are songwriters or filmmakers. So the music we're listening tonight, these are, you're published, you own the master. If a filmmaker wanted to sync one of your
Yes. I wrote them. I recorded them. I own them. I have all of them also as instrumentals.
Without me yakking on and on,
the musicians are all world-class musicians. They're just the greatest. So,
and they could just write you at Jackie the Joke Man at AOL. And
No. Jokeland. At AOL.com. I'm going to say it again. J-O-K-E-L-A-N-D at AOL.com. But just beware, because if you email me, you're going to get so much music, you're going to hate me. But I've got so much stuff saved up. And, you know, a couple of my songs have been in films, and I get such a kick out of it. But we might get to some of them, so I don't want to spoil that.
Well, actually, perfect. Let's get to the next one.
I'd like to be happy all the time, but I know that that can't be. So if I could be happy most of the time, that'd be fine with me. That'd be fine with me. La-di-da, la-da-di-da, I hope it comes naturally. La-di-da, 'cause if it don't, whatever's gonna happen to me.
Oh, another fun one. So right away, Jackie, are you playing guitar on this as well as singing?
I'm playing guitar, but not a lot. All the lead guitar work is Frank Vignola and Vinnie Raniolo. But I wrote the song on guitar. I lived in my mother's attic in the 70s. That's where the first Jokeland was before I became a comic. And there was an adorable girl, a blonde. This used to be called the blue-eyed girl. And she was years younger than me, and she was blonde, and she was so beautiful. And she used to come see my band, and I knew I didn't have a shot with her. And I wrote that song with her in mind, and she was so thrilled and so taken by the song that my plan worked.
Yeah, I love to hear that.
And she's such a sweet, wonderful girl, and she loved that song. And the song is, you know, it's actually pretty much just fluff. But it's a nice deal, lovely. You know, it's a little, you know, a little, just cooks along nicely, yeah, that's
and
all.
Again, your songwriting skills are really astounding. I mean, every song is rememberable, it's catchy, you know, obviously you have your fun lyrics, but even in the fun lyrics, there's like these deep underlining messages, which I love how you mix that.
Well, I appreciate you noticing, you know, for 15 years on The Stern Show, once in a while, Howard would play one of my songs and he would stop it after every syllable, after every line and make fun. And I don't care. If you took Beatles songs and stopped them after every line, you could make fun of every line, of course. So he always made me look like an idiot, you know, which I didn't care. It was all part of it. Also on that song, that's my ex-wife singing background vocals. She was so talented and she was really great. And she used to go toe-to-toe with Howard on the air, too, and he made fun of her singing career. But she sang back a lot of backup on the CD, and it was great fun.
Well, look, I just remember those as persona, right? He was kind of, you know...
Right. Yeah, that was part of the game.
But honestly, I never clouded my judgment, my friend. Okay, let's get into the third track.
Sing it all night long. It's all right, I'm a feeling strong. Would it help if I sang a song? The days are nice when we were one. We really knew the men have been fun. Can't believe it's over and done. Would it help if I sang a song? Nights we shared were so complete. We charmed everybody that we met. Now love's gone bittersweet. Would it help if I sang a song? Would it help if I sang you a beautiful song? And I could sit and sing it all night long. It's alright, I'm a feeling strong.
I see, I think that's beautiful. And I could actually hear that in films, you know, whether it's a Coen's Brothers or Ben Stiller or something that maybe has a little bit of humor in the film, but the song would kind of equalize that, you know? Is this a love song again?
That song, that same girl who broke my heart, that was in a bunch of the songs that I sent you. I lived actually pretty close to where I am right now. She was a school teacher. She was 27. I was 29. I was in a band. We were so nowhere. We drove around in a bright yellow 1955 Cadillac hearse. And I just was so in love with her. And me and her had so much fun. And she kept saying, don't fall in love with me. I'm not ready for that. And of course, I fell in love with her. And then she took off with some rich guy. So all these songs poured out of me. And I remember so distinctly one night the guy said, come on, we're going out. And I said, I'm not going. I got to stay home. I got to write a song. And I remember my friend JR said, well, make it a good one. And I said, I will. And I wrote that song. And that song is our band, the Off Hour Rockers, playing at it was a place on Long Island. Anybody from Long Island would know it was called My Father's Place. Springsteen played there on his way up. Everybody on their way up played at my father's place in Roslyn, and we were a local band, and once in a blue moon, we got to play there, and that was us playing that live on stage at my father's place. You know, just a terrible recording, you know, with a couple of microphones, but people just love that song because it's like almost like a round, you know, it comes around. It's another song that... Yeah,
and there's so many beautiful
heads.
Pieces. I mean, those harmonies in the intro and the organ.
And that's my old friend Chris Bates, the guy from Kindergarten from 1953. Incredible. That's him singing and Herbie Werner playing the keyboards. And I don't know if it's a litmus test for a true love song, but to this day, when those chords start, I feel the tug. I feel that romantic tug on my heart. Not to sound like an idiot because I'm an old, drunken, stupid, dirty comedian, But I'm telling you the truth. It's like, wow, you know, it just sends me back there.
That's
you know,
incredible.
You're making my week here. Thank you so much. You're so flattering. I love
you.
Kidding?
For it. Thank you. You have made our week. This is the best show of the week so far. Jackie, it's the only show of the week so far. This has been great. One more song, and then we're going to talk about Jackie's book. Reflecting on what you were saying about the musicians that you brought in to record with you, the production value, the instrumentation, I mean, so cool. Tell us a little bit about this song, who's playing what, where it was recorded.
Well, I had so much angst when my band wasn't getting anywhere quick. And we had bought a 4-track, you know, sound-on-sound tape recorder. So I recorded somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 songs, and almost every one of them, I just used the first take, and this is going to sound pretty silly, but I had a mixer, you know, that had probably 6 tracks. So I would record on each of the 4 tracks. What I would record is the chords of a song, and I would have it on a music chart, you know, C, 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 A, A, D, whatever. And my friends used to make fun of me because it wasn't music. It was just by the bar. You know, a bar of this, a bar of that, a bar of this. And I play the chords, and then I'd play back the chords and play along with it. And then I'd turn that off and play the chords back again and play again along with it. Then sometimes I'd make it half speed or make it double speed. And then what I would do is, in the course of doing that, of course you're going to have a few clamps. So what I did, I actually had a different color for each track. And if I hit a bad note on, say, track 3, and it was blue, I'd put a big blue X on that measure. And then I would mix it down. And as the thing was going down, if there was a big blue X, I would pull that fader down so the clam wouldn't be there. And I got like 15 of those songs. That song, about one quarter of the way in, completely slows up and becomes a real romantic ballad. But that's me playing guitar on top of me playing guitar on top of me playing guitar on top of me. That's me playing all great. 4 guitar licks, guitar tracks, rather. This is long before I knew anybody. You know, this is me alone in my mother's attic. I love doing that, and a lot of people have heard that music, but that was like 1977, and then I never did it again. And I'd go back and listen and say, what are they talking about? That doesn't sound right. Bad. You know, a lot of that music is in my documentary because it's all instrumental.
It's exactly what's happening right now. I mean, there's so much dubbing. These artists are recording themselves, laying down a bass line, adding guitar. Then you see them hitting the button. It's all over TikTok. I mean, but you didn't have these apps and machines. You were doing it with tape, which is just absolutely inspiring. We're going to have you back to talk about more music because we just don't have the time to do more. I do want to touch on the book. I know it came out in 2017, but it's such a massive contribution. You know, it's a huge piece of your life that you've exposed to this book. And I don't know, maybe I thought you could just end with telling us a couple stories.
I've been started writing a book so long ago. And then I started doing it more and more after I got off the show, and then I had a couple deals that fell through, and then I'd write more. And when the World Wide Web first hit, I started writing stories and put my stories up on the World Wide Web, and people loved them, and I'd write more and more. And of course, so many of the stories, people thought, oh, that's a great story you made up, and I didn't know how to tell them. So many of these horrible stories, are absolute factual things. And then I finally got a book deal. And the book has literally half of the chapters I wrote. I have an entire another book of chapters completely polished and finished. I don't know if I sent them to you, but they're, I'd be glad to send them to you. And, you know, we can even talk about them next time. But, you know, there's so much that isn't in my book, that like the whole chapter about the making of the Howard Stern movie, Private Parts, which contained everything, you know, them being mean to me, them ripping me off, me not getting credit, me not getting money. Every complaint I had about the show was in that one chapter, and somehow I didn't put that chapter in
the book. So is there another book? Is there another book in the making? Is that what I'm hearing?
You know, nobody's interested. I actually did sell some books, and it's funny, I sell more and more. I'll tell you a great story. Howard Stern, of course, never told anybody about my book. You know, he's got millions and millions, but he's never going to tell people, hey, why don't you read Jackie's book so you can find out how much he helped me in the early days, right? So he never mentioned it. Then my publisher called up and said, where did you just promote the book? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you just got a huge bump in sales. It's, you know, it's pretty crazy. And I said, well, you know, I always do podcasts and I always do radio shows and I do all these things, but I didn't do anything out of the ordinary. What happened was Howard put out a book. And if you sell a book on Amazon, when you go to buy it, underneath it says people who bought this book sometimes bought these books. And there was my book, and people already had their mouse out.
Brilliant.
They already had their credit card in. And with one click, they got my book too. And all of a sudden, I'm getting all these emails saying, wow, who knew you had a book? It's so great. It's so fun.
It is brilliant.
So much good behind, you know. Of course, there's tons of, you know, Howard Sterny people, you know, this is a crummy book. You didn't write it yourself. Why is it all backwards? Why doesn't it make, you know.
But hey, look at this.
You know, they're all jerks, you know.
Being in that spotlight and, you know, you. You,
oh, yeah. No, well,
cause
I'm so used to it.
Because you dominated that spotlight.
I mean, for you
to go toe-to-toe with all of those brilliant minds, you know, I couldn't have done that on my knees, Jackie. I'm so impressed with you.
You know, I used to tell people, you know those movies where, like, Bruce Lee is standing in the middle of the room and, like, six people come at him from all different things? I was like Bruce Lee, and here's Howard and Robin and Fred and Gary and John. They're all attacking me, you know. And I'm just fending them off or deflecting it to somebody else.
Radio.
You know? Oh, it was great. You know what freaks people out the most is when I tell them that sometimes when Howard was attacking me, I would literally write the horrible things that he said about me. And people cannot handle that. You know, that's in my documentary. Billy West, who did the Jackie puppet, said, I couldn't believe Jackie's writing things for the puppet to say about him. It's him as a puppet. You know, it was crazy, comedic genius.
You're
stuff.
Going after the laugh, no matter what the cost is. That is incredible.
Right. The laugh is the most important thing. You're absolutely. I don't know about any genius, but yes, the laugh was the thing and is the
Jackie,
thing. Will always
you know
be
what?
The
we
thing.
Are definitely going to have you back if you have time for us. This has been, I think, one of the most enjoyable rides, first hours we've had. Thank you for making today so special.
Well, listen, I would love to hear from anybody. I would love to have some work. I would love to get my music in a film or a TV show. But if you want to just say hello or if you want some jokes, email me, jokeland, J-O-K-E-L-A-N-D at AOL.com. And
please.
I have to leave you with a joke. So the wife says, Harry, does this dress make me look fat? And he says, well, you promise you won't get mad at me no matter what I say? She says, I promise, because I'm banging your sister.
Oh, my God. She promised. She can't get mad.
She promised. All right, listen, I would love to talk to you again. I would love to meet you. I'd love to meet Estrella. I would love to come to Ireland. So figure out some kind of gig. Get me $4.
Honestly,
for a dirty
I was hinting to that to you.
I'm gonna
follow up anyways next week. So I definitely want to get you to Ireland, and we're gonna come back to New York to see you as well.
All right, I would love that, and I am absolutely flattered to have been asked to do this. And I told a bunch of my friends. I don't know if they tuned in or not, but I promoted it on my website, you know, not my website, on Twitter
you,
and all that
well,
stuff.
Well, this is the
so.
Thing. That is great. Oh, Jackie, you're brilliant. Thanks, Jackie. We love you, man. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, you guys. All right. Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Get a load of this. She's a real estate agent, top of her game. She's just lost her child in a car accident. She blames herself. She's laying in the bathtub, just drowning in sorrow and misery. And that's it. She's had it. She's done. She looks around. She's in this penthouse overlooking Vegas. She doesn't deserve any of it. She's going to blow it all up. She walks to the microwave, puts a tin in there, sets the timer to 30 seconds. In slow motion, we see her exiting building as the timer runs out and explosion fire sets. That is a new feature film that is actually shooting at the moment called Move Me No Mountain by four-time Emmy Award-winning director Deborah Richards, who we had on an earlier show. You might have heard her talk. Well, now she's actually filming her movie, and we're actually going to funnel quite a few of her sync opportunities through this room. So, Wyatt, welcome to the stage. What do you think of the show today? You have anything for Jackie? Do you think anything about the sync opportunity?
Yeah, I was just going to ask about the sync opportunity. I mean, I did listen to the entire segment with Jackie.
It's brilliant, right?
What a roller coaster. I mean, it was amazing hearing those stories and the songs and just the whole
honestly,
thing.
Honestly, I needed another 4 hours with that man.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm sure you could tell stories for days. But I was just curious about the sync opportunity that was just kind of shown. I love the 90s
very
grunge
up
stuff.
Your street, I was going to say.
I mean, that's right up my alley. I was just going to ask if they're looking for something down tempo like that song.
So if you can imagine, it's this moment where this woman is having a complete meltdown. She's just survived a car accident that's taken her daughter. She is a very successful real estate agent living in, you know, the top of a penthouse in Vegas. And, you know, we just see her melting into the bathtub as if she just wants to die. And then the phone's going and she's sick of it, throws it in the microwave, and she exits the penthouse in slow motion, right? When as soon as that phone starts counting down, we're going into slow motion. And then she becomes homeless, right? She gives up everything, starts living in the streets in Vegas. So it's a huge moment in the film, and we need to express that. So the only thing about, you know, that rooster is the climax comes really late in the song. So,
yeah.
So we're looking for something that's going to be a little bit more time conscious to the growth. But I think that slow, you know, rumbling guitar and then into something that has percussion and bass and drives and then kind of explodes and comes back down is really what she's looking for.
Yeah, sweet. So having something more down tempo with more space in the beginning and then have
exactly.
Like a crescendo in the middle or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm assuming you're just going to send out the email with those details.
Yeah, if you're on the mailing list, you'll definitely get it.
Noted.
Another question. Is it okay if it doesn't have lyrics?
Yeah, an instrumental could be interesting. There is a composer already confirmed to build the score. I think she's looking for something that helps to tell the story and moves that scene along. But I would, you know, from you, Colleen, I would definitely be interested in hearing what's in your mind. Hi, Rachel. Thank you. Welcome to the stage. How are you tonight?
Good. Thank you so much for having me on stage, Jason. I'm sorry I'm late, but I appreciate you holding the room and offering these opportunities. And nice to meet you, Jackie. Nice to see everybody. Thank you.
Yeah, this is it's funny. This particular opportunity, the filmmaker lives in Vegas. The entire story is based in Vegas. Rachel is a new friend of ours. She runs an incredible community, artist-based community, and a room here on Clubhouse. You should definitely check out her profile, go to her rooms. She offers up sync opportunities as well as giving incredible music advice, technical advice, as well as business, spiritual and mental. I mean, it's just incredible the package she offers.
Oh, thank you, Jason. Thank you so much.
And Shireen, I saw you had your hand up. Did you have a question or a comment?
Hey guys. Yeah, thank you so much. The room is so great today. And I just wanted to second your support for Rachel and musicians.
Yay.
Peer support is the room.
Thank you.
She freaking rocks.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm loving this. I'm so excited about this brief. And so I just wanted to ask, do you care about male versus female vocals? And how long would be an ideal time till we get to that scream point, the destitution point in the track?
So last question first. The scene is probably about a minute and a half long. You know, it's not a long runway, obviously. And until we shoot, you know, we haven't shot that scene. We haven't started editing. It could be something, I can't imagine it being much more. But if you could, in your mind, think 2 minutes, I think we're safe.
And then male versus female vocals, does it matter as long as it's grungy?
Right. So funny that I haven't even thought to ask the director that. But knowing that this is a heroine story told from her perspective, I think having a female lead could actually be a bonus.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Well, hopefully we'll hear some music from you again. We'll make sure you get all the sync opportunities. Am I missing anyone? Hi, Mark. How's it going? Good to see you again.
Thanks, Eric. I enjoyed the show today. Jackie, it was a lot of fun. I love listening to stories.
Brilliant stories.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the brief, too. I already got your email, brother. And we have my little team. We've written several grunge kind of songs, so we may have something in the back pocket already. But looking forward to that. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, guys, we're coming to the end of another incredible show. Thank you, Paula Flack, my angel, the brains of the group, and always breathes fresh life into this madness. David, so happy you've joined the team. Excited to have your help with marketing and on the business side of things. Of course,
thank you.
Of course, our brilliant featured guest who's actually still here with us, Jackie. I adore you. I appreciate you. I can't thank you enough for tonight. And everybody who's joined in and listened, I really appreciate it. Please check out the website, see who else is coming up, and feel free to listen to the past episodes. Thank you and good night.
I'm gonna sing this song to you, mama, to try and wind up my routine. Just remember I'm trying to be funny. I ain't trying to be mean. But I believe it's a bit of mine you never heard before. Please bend me an ear before you walk out that door. But have mercy on my reviews. I got the bad timing in the monologue of life blues.
Bad timing, bad. Bad timing, bad.
Yeah.
Bad timing, bad. Bad timing, bad.
Before they went and got married, Dot and John got plastered. They weren't too in somebody's backseat, and I was the resulting offspring. I came out smiling from where the sun never shines, where some folks fiddle and some folks like to dine. I guess Pop missed one of his cues. He had the bad timing in the monologue of life blues.
Bad timing, man.
Bone in my body, baby, that don't like sex. And I love to drink liquor. Woo-hoo, yeah. But one last catch. You know I may be rotten, baby, through and through. But deep in my heart, you know I love you. I guess my punchlines didn't amuse you. I had the bad timing in the monologue of life blue.
Bad timing, bad.
Oh.
Bad timing, bad. Bad timing, bad.
Yeah.
Bad timing, bad.
One thing is for certain.
What's that, Jackie?
This is the final curtain. What a joke. Take a toke. My back is broken. Peaches, raisins, April, June, and July. I think I'm going crazy, Mama. You're the reason why. The farmer's daughter blew my fuse. I had the bad.
timing in the monologue of life blues.
Bad timing, bad, yeah. Bad timing, bad,
bad,
bad timing, bad, bad timing, bad.
Before I start another story, before I open my great big yap, I'm gonna make sure there ain't a flaw, not a weak spot in my route. As though my anecdotes were scattered with sailors and booze, priests, midgets, old ladies, Polacks and Jews. Even that naked girl was stranded from a shipwrecked cruise. She had the bad timing in the monologue of life blues.
Bad timing, bad.
Laying a great big egg, I got flop sweat rolling down my brow. But I'll be goddamned if I'm gonna beg, so I'm gonna take just one last bow. Why is it, woman, you come back for more? If you think my grand finale's such a terrible bore, do you realize I got nothing left to lose but the bad timing in the monologue of life blues?
Bad time and bad, bad time and bad, bad time and bad, bad time and
I said, lake, earth, field, stream, river, and mountain, I wish that there was liquor in every water fountain. It just might cure my red, my yellow, my green, my orange, my purple, but mama, it never, never cure my blues.
Bad time and bad.
Bad timing in the monologue of life's bad news.